Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to our morning worship hour. Great to see you all here. Let's lift his name on high. Turn to hymn number 107 as we begin this morning. Hymn number for prayer. Father, thank you for our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his love and mercy and tender care. Father, thank you most of all for his sacrifice at Calvary's cross for each of us to pay the price for our sins in full that we might have eternal life through faith and trust in him alone. We praise you that he rose again on the third day. Thank you that the Easter season is upon us and we'll be celebrating in just a couple of weeks in a special way those events. And Father, we pray that we'll be drawn closer to you through this hour, that we will appreciate Jesus more, love him and worship him and serve him more because of this time we're spending together. We pray that we'll see him more clearly in this hour. Pray for your blessing on Pastor as he brings the message today. Fill him with your spirit and use him to help us all to know your word better and to see you better and more clearly. We pray that Jesus will be seen more in our lives as we leave this place today, that the Spirit will be flowing through us and using us to share the message of the Good Shepherd, that many more might come into the fold. Father, we bless you and thank you and praise you and commit this hour to you. We pray your Spirit will move and work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. And let's continue by turning to hymn number 575. And we'll sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Anyway, I've read a lot of good things about St. Patrick. From what I understand, that he was a true believer. Did a great work in Ireland, brought those people under the influence of the gospel, and changed them from, what was it, Druids or something like that, to Christians. And so anyway, we can rejoice in that. Okay. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to read this morning from verse 1 through verse 21. Beginning at verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He has a devil, is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you this morning for your wonderful love and mercy and grace to us. We thank you that we can gather this way and worship you. We pray that your will would be done in each and every one of our lives, that we might be faithful and true in all that we do and say each day. Bless this service, we pray, Lord, as we worship you together. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the Good Shepherd, the one who has redeemed us from our sins and given us eternal life in Christ. And we bow before you to say thank you. Thank you for your mercy and grace and love. Thank you for the salvation we have. And we pray, thank you for the fact that you are still living today and you will always be. We just pray that we will love you and serve you in the way that we should. We pray for those who are laid up today, our Father, some that are not well. We pray that you will strengthen and help each one and meet their needs. And you know the afflictions that some of us do have. And we pray that you will minister to the need of each and every one. Strengthen us and help us to be good witnesses for you. We pray for Adam as he's going to be moving on Friday. We pray that everything will go well for that and that he will have a good relationship with this neighbor and be able to witness to him about Christ. We do pray, our Father, for those who are going through difficult times. We think of our missionaries today, Father. We're glad to have Lydia here with us today. And we pray your richest blessings upon her as she's visiting with her family. And we do pray for Peter as he's over there in Greece carrying on the ministry. Use him in a mighty way to spread the good news of the gospel. Pray that souls might come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, bless all of our missionaries. We thank you for each one who's faithful in doing the work that you have called them to do. Bless your word to our hearts today and guide and help us in everything we do and say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Gospel of John, there's a number of places where it speaks of Jesus. Jesus said, I am. You remember? That's the name of God, isn't it? I am that I am. And we have here, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. So John presents the Lord Jesus in all these ways as the one we need to give us an abundant life, to provide salvation from sin and a fruitful life of service to God. Now this morning we want to center in on this John chapter 10, where it speaks about Jesus being the good shepherd. And we want to look at this. You know, shepherds were common in Israel, weren't they? There is a lot said in there about shepherds. Many flocks of sheep, and each one had its own shepherd. Some of them were very conscientious and concerned about the sheep, while others only considered it a job, something that they needed to do to make a living. And they would run away at the first sign of any danger that might come. It's interesting to remember that David, the great king of Israel, began his career as a shepherd boy. Notice in Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72, it says, "He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." So it seems to say that the experiences David had in caring for the sheep helped him in his dealings with the people. And in fact, the scriptures often compare people to sheep. There's a number of places that speaks of that. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 34, the whole chapter is about the shepherds and those who were not good shepherds. They were the bad shepherds, right? And then Jesus speaks of himself as being the good shepherd. But in chapter Ezekiel 34, verse 6, it says, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains, upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." Jeremiah 50, verse 6 says, "My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place." Isaiah 53, verse 6, very familiar verse. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In the New Testament, Matthew 9, verse 36, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes," when Jesus saw the multitudes, "he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd." So here we have the necessity of what have I done? Don't tell me. Oh, here it is. Getting I'm trying to write it out so I don't forget what I'm saying, and then I get it mixed up. Okay. Anyway, Jesus told a story that illustrates beautifully his role as the good shepherd. This is in Matthew 18, verses 12 through 14. Jesus says, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And now we look in John chapter 10. Jesus speaks of the shepherd and his sheep here in three different ways. The first part, verses 1 to 5, is speaking about a morning scene. The shepherd and his sheep in the morning. Several different flocks have been kept in an enclosure with stone walls, guarded by a doorkeeper to protect them from thieves or wild animals. the shepherd comes to the gate and the doorkeeper opens to him. He calls his sheep by name. And they recognize his voice and they follow him. He leads them out to the green pastures. The Lord calls his people and they follow him. That's the main lesson that we have here in these first few verses. Jesus said, he that enters by the door into the sheepfold is the shepherd. Someone else coming up another way is a thief and a robber. He that enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, you have to be careful these days, right? There's a lot of strangers, and they're saying all kinds of things. You know, calling the sheep, but you have to listen for that right voice, right? That right, the Lord Jesus speaking to us. What does he say? He leads us in the paths of righteousness, right? And by the cool waters, wherever, and protects us along the way. He is the shepherd of the sheep, and we need to look to him. So, making the spiritual application, Jesus says here, I am the door. Notice here, he says in verse 7, it says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Who is the good shepherd? Jesus. Is there any other? He says all the rest of them are thieves and robbers. Don't listen to them. Follow the good shepherd. He's the one who is there. Now, speaking here about near the pasture where he was leading these sheep is an enclosure he has there for them. And they can either go into this enclosure and are out to pasture, go out and eat the grass. The shepherd himself takes his place in the doorway and functions as a door or a gate. He says, I am the door. You know, they had this little pen there, and he would lay down in the doorway, and no one could get past him. You see, the sheep couldn't go past, they couldn't get lost. And no one could come to harm them. And Jesus says, I am the door. He's the one who protects us and keeps us. And we should follow him. Listen to his voice. And don't allow anything to come between us and him. Yeah? He's the door. Don't go out and get lost. So there's only one door into the fold, and Jesus is the door. This is there's only one Savior. All the others are giving you a different message. They are thieves and robbers. They do not offer true life. Only false hopes. There's a lot of people today have false hopes, don't they? They think they're going to make it one way or another. They're going to follow some religious leader or some system of belief. But Jesus says, I am the way, truth, and the life, right? There's no other way. He's the door. He's the shepherd. He's the Savior. And we look to him. Through Christ alone, we receive a number of things. First of all, is salvation, of course. He is the Savior. God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only Son to to die on the cross to save us from our sins, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? How he has redeemed us from our sins. He gives us the salvation that we need so desperately. He gives liberty. It tells us in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Free indeed. We have salvation, we have liberty, we have satisfaction. That wonderful 23rd Psalm speaks about, all the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's all I need, right? He gives us everything we need. He leads us in the way of righteousness. And he gives us sustenance. Here in Isaiah 40 verse 11, it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those who are with young. The Lord is so gracious and loving and desires to help us in every situation of life, whatever it may be. We go through some pretty rough times sometimes, right? Think of the sheep, you know, out there on the wilderness. Many times there wasn't a whole lot of grass. They had to go around and find it wherever they could, you know. And it's a pretty difficult life. And yet the shepherd was always there to lead them in the right direction, to give them the food and the water that they needed so desperately. And Jesus offers to us abundant life. Abundant life. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The abundant life that Jesus gives, here on earth as well as in heaven, right? He wants us to look to him for every need that we have. Jesus then developed the shepherd and the sheep illustration in a third way. When evening came over the land, there were various dangers facing the sheep. They had lions and wolves and bears. You remember David talked about that. He had to kill a bear and I think a lion as well. And these were lurking in the darkness, looking for that meal, right? Trying to take advantage of that little lamb or that sheep. And the shepherd had to be there to protect them. The life of a shepherd could be dangerous. Some of these animals could have attacked him as well. David spoke of killing these animals and protecting the sheep. And here Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Verse 11. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He doesn't run away when the danger comes. He doesn't forsake us. He's not going to leave us alone, even when we're foolish. You know, he tells that story about the little lamb or the little sheep that goes off on the mountain and the shepherd has to go after him, right? To seek for him and to bring him back. To rejoice in knowing him. And he's the good shepherd, willing to die for the sheep. And in the case of Jesus, not only willing to die for the sheep, he did die for the sheep, didn't he? He died that we might have life. He took our sins upon himself and went to the cross and bore our sins there and was the sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He provided salvation through his sacrifice on the cross. And he's faithful to the sheep. Notice verse 12. He speaks about the difference between him and these other hired men. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. He sees the wolf coming. He leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling. He doesn't care anything about the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. So here we have Jesus is faithful. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. If this is the reason he came, was that we might have salvation through him. He is faithful. There's a personal, caring relationship that he has. He is our Savior, and he's our intercessor today. You know, it talks about Jesus at the right hand of the Father interceding in behalf of the believer, right? Can you imagine that? Jesus praying for me, praying for you. Isn't that wonderful? How he cares for us. You know, on the cross he said, it is finished. He's talking about the salvation, right? But he's still working. He's still there, interceding in our behalf, praying for us. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And he actually died in the place of the sheep. I have a few verses here. Romans 5, verse 8 through 10. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We're talking about in Sunday school eternal security, huh? You know how we are saved by the grace of God forever and ever, right? We're not going to walk away and lose our salvation. Jesus is going to keep us. He has justified us. He has saved us from wrath. We are reconciled to God. And being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, that's a wonderful thing. Jesus died for us, yes, but he also lives. He lives for us. He is our advocate with the Father. And we are redeemed by his precious blood. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body, in his own body, on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were, as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So, we are his people. And it's wonderful to know that he is caring for us. So who are these sheep? Who are the sheep we're talking about here? Jesus says down in verse 26, he's speaking here to the scribes and Pharisees, and he says to them, but ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So, he says here, every person is not one of Christ's sheep. You know, some people seem to think that everybody's going to go to heaven, everybody's all right. No, I'm all right, you're all right, we're all right. No, it's not that way. Jesus said, ye believe not because you are not of my sheep. And why are you not my sheep? He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There we go, right? My Father who gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He says, you're in my hand. You're in the Father's hand, and you're not going to go anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. And they took up stones to stone him. What do you think about that? These people. And what does he say? Who are the sheep? Those who believe in him. Right? That's all we have to do. Jesus makes it very clear. His sheep are those who believe in him. From among the Israel people. We have that in Romans chapter 11. Steve was reading that this morning in Sunday school a little bit. How that they are the ones that he came for to begin with. But they have to believe in him. And then from among the Gentiles, of course, we have the same thing. But here, in Romans 11, it says, I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, Paul said, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know you not what the scripture says of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? He said, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace among the Jewish people, right? And I've been reading lately a lot about that, all the what's going on over in Israel with the war and all of this. And now these missionaries and preachers are able to go in there and minister to these people and bring them to know Christ as a Savior. Been reading quite a bit about that, the various ones, different organizations. I know we as a church are going to be taking on a Jewish missionary soon, and they're doing a great work reaching these people with the gospel. Even during this age, God in his grace and mercy is reaching down to them, and many are coming to Christ. It's a wonderful thing. And then, of course, from the Gentiles. You know, we have had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ. And this is in verse 16 I've got. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. The fold there is talking about Israel. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Huh? Here we are, people. The other sheep. You know, we weren't of Israel. We didn't have all of the advantages that they had. The Old Testament and all of that. Here we come along as pagans. And God in his grace and mercy has saved us and given us eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? I think it is. And it says in Acts 15:14, It says, Simeon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. See? God in his mercy and grace sent Peter to the household of Cornelius. And before he finished his sermon, the Holy Spirit said, that's enough. He came, and they believed, and they were saved. And the Lord continues to work. It says, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This is the church. We are one in Christ. It doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter what your ethnic group might be. In Christ, we are all one, right? Yes, yes we are. And we can rejoice as brothers and sisters in him. In Ephesians 2:11, it says, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So his sheep are those who hear his voice, who follow him. Verse 27 of our text. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus said. Right? Over in the first chapters of the book of Revelation. Listen. Is Jesus speaking? Listen to his voice. His sheep know him and are known by him. He knows who we are, and we know him. Those who follow him in obedience, that's one of the characteristics of a sheep. The sheep follows the shepherd. Now sometimes they get lost, don't they? And the shepherd has to go find them. And we do that, don't we? Stumble along, get off the trail, wander off here, and he has to come and find us and bring us back. Huh? It happens. But he will do that because he's faithful. And we follow him. We seek to do his will. That's the desire, I believe, of every believer. We might fail along the way, but we want to do his will. Those who have received eternal life and are secure. Verse 28, did I read that? I might have. Anyway, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I did read that. But anyway, see what I'm getting at. Dr. J. Vernon McGee said, this is a good statement. I believe in the eternal security of the believer and in the insecurity of the make-believer. How's that? That's pretty good. Warren Wiersbe is talking about the sheep here. He says, sheep are a perfect picture of the Christian. Sheep are clean animals in the Bible, and Christians have been cleansed from their sin. Sheep flock together, and so do true believers. Sheep are harmless. Christians should be harmless. Sheep are given to wandering, and so are we. Sheep need the shepherd for protection, guidance, and food. And we need Christ for spiritual protection, daily guidance, and spiritual food. Sheep are useful and productive. So are true Christians. Finally, sheep were used for sacrifices, and Christians are willing to yield themselves for Christ, or we should be. So Christ is the door to salvation. He's the door to satisfaction, security. He offers forgiveness of sins and eternal, abundant life to all who come to Him in faith and enter through Him into the kingdom of God. Notice again verse 9 of our text here, if I can find it. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. This is Christ's invitation. If any man, whosoever will, come in. If you have never received Christ as your Savior, the one who died for you on the cross, who shed his precious blood for you, you can come to him today. Now this morning, I believe most of us are believers, maybe all of us. But if there's anyone who has never put their faith and trust in Christ, this is the message for you. He is the good shepherd. I remember years ago, we had a lady come here on that Sunday morning who was filled with anxiety and stress, and I preached a message about the good shepherd and the sheep, and she says, "That's me." And she came and put her faith and trust in Jesus and was saved by the grace of God. And what a wonderful thing that is. And I think of her real often. Every time we sing one of the songs, I think of her. And Jesus is faithful. He's the shepherd. And we are his sheep. And we rejoice in that. Let's walk in fellowship with him. And if you don't know him, come to him today. His arms are wide open. He's ready to receive you. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. And we pray that you would bless this word to each one of us and help us to be the kind of Christians we ought to be, the kind of sheep, following the shepherd, walking in righteousness and truth, and seeking to win others to the Lord Jesus. May your holy will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.